Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
11 a.m. on a Thursday. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer along the ride with you here. And now, joining us on the Wester Hotline, Sal Capaccio, as the Bills will get ready for practice at 11:30. Sal, much better morning than yesterday, I must tell you. Much better morning.
Yeah, for sure. That was pretty exciting, intense. Baseball, playoff baseball is great.
I know. It is. I was asking Derek right at the top of the show, like, how bad does a football game have to get you to go to another sporting event? And I was so glad he's like, not much. Because I football is my first love. I do want to watch Rams and 49ers. But with how injured the 49ers are and how good the playoff baseball's been, I'm like,
I'll just tell you, I don't.
8 o'clock, I'm going to Red Sox-Yankees.
I have zero interest in watching football tonight.
You don't want to watch Mac Jones?
If there's a different game, I mean, if it's a game and, you know, you wanted to see and how it impacts the Bills, it might be a little different for a lot of people if you love baseball and dialed into this game. The other thing about it is, though, so I don't know if you guys know, but the game is at 8 tonight. If the Reds had won last night, this game would be at 6 again tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they would have kept all the times the same. Like, now everyone's kind of gotten moved back. There's no 1 o'clock game. I do prefer that. The first day, I love the 1 o'clock starts. Now I'm like, I kind of want there to be a little bit more special feeling. Wait a little bit into the afternoon.
Right.
But it's been so good. And Sal, the stat you had yesterday, it's going to be put to the test today.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, because all three games, I mean, three of the four series went to three games. If all four series had gone to three games, we'd be having the same schedule, 1, 3, 6, and 9. But every time they eliminated a game, they kind of pushed one out the afternoon block and pushed it back. So, I mean, I love the 6 o'clock start because, I mean, 9 o'clock game's ending. Like, all right, it's only 9 o'clock. That's great. 8 o'clock start is... Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's kind of normal, I guess, maybe a little bit later, and then it's just a late night, you know what I mean? But I agree. I'll check in on the football game, and I'll be super dialed into that.
Sal, last thing on this, too, for me. How do you feel about the very late night playoff baseball games? Like, I am somebody that loves the mystique, the aura, the romanticism of it's 2 o'clock in the morning, it's Yankees Red Sox, and we're in like the 12th inning. Like, a part of me does love that, but it leads into a long night and early morning.
I don't love that at all. Listen, I mean, when I was a kid, if I remember right, I could be a little wrong on this. Like, games started at kind of a reasonable hour for us to kind of watch them. I remember, you know, Mets, Red Sox in 86, you know, Cardinals and Twins in 87. I can go through the timeline of the teams and the games and these great series. But then as I got older and TV kind of became the bigger deal and put these games in the primetime windows, it just became – I just don't like the fact that Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL, everybody, they start these games – at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Heck, I mean, national championship game in basketball, right? It's late.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's all because of TV. And I just think it sucks that younger people, it's tough for them to watch. I get it, why they do it, because West Coast, they're 3 hours behind. You try to fit it in for everybody where you have to meet earlier for them, later for you, all those kinds of things. But, yeah, I do not like those late games. I'll, at some point, depending on what game it is, generally I mean, heck, a couple of Monday Night Football games this year. I went to bed and said, I will just find out who won when I get up in the morning.
Well, I mean, that's the bonus mm-hmm. with the Bills Monday Night game against Atlanta. It's part of that doubleheader.
It's
7:15, baby. 7:15.
I love that. That's great. I love that. You know, especially for us, you know, we're on the team charter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the way it works is kind of right after the game, you do locker room interviews, and you get, you know, on the bus and to the plane. And Atlanta's going to be, what, a 2.5-hour flight or so, maybe, I guess, something mm-hmm. like that. So the game starts at 7:15, done by 10:15, still going to get back at like 3 in the morning, but as opposed to maybe 4:30.
Oof.
And still tough.
And that's the thing, it's but that little bit difference, it makes the world a little bit. All right, let's get to the Bills and the Barnes from Injured Report, which is brought to you by the Barnes from Injured for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Sal, I think for the most part, good news. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, Ed Oliver all make their returns to practice, albeit in a limited fashion. I did see this from Matt Perino, friend of the show, friend of the station. This was Oliver's first practice since September 10th. And then there were others, some notable ones. Dory Williams did not practice with a knee. And then a bit of a late addition, this was not said when McDermott met with all of you guys, Jackson Hawes, an ankle, was also limited.
Yeah, and I think, you know, from people can see, I have video posted at Sal Sports. You can watch, you know, Matt Milano is attacking a bag and tackling it to the ground. And that's great news for a guy who has a pec injury, right, coming back. So I think he's trending really well. We'll see how it goes for the rest of the week. And if you're going to be without Dorian Williams, it'd be great to get Matt Milano back, obviously. You know, Dorian has done a nice job, but, you know, the Bills are a different defense with Matt Milano on the field, and be great to get him back. Spencer Brown, same thing. He was kind of doing everything. From when I was watching him, I saw that it looked like he was doing pretty well. And, I mean, just indicating from last week that he thought he might be able to go, I think that's looking pretty good. I think Ed's a little different. I think there's a chance he could play, but even the way he sounded after practice seemed like, you know, they're going to try and see what happens this week, how it goes for the next few days. It has been a while. He was limping pretty good on Sunday when he came out, you know, to walk on the sidelines. So we'll see how it goes. He's still have a few days here, but limited yesterday and practicing is good, obviously. We'll see. I don't think there's anything necessarily right now to worry about with Jackson Hawes. He was in the locker room yesterday afterwards. You spoke to him briefly. It wasn't about the injury or anything, because we didn't know at the time he was even limited. But he was in there and seemed like nothing was going on. So I think that might just be something where maybe he's got a little something they're dealing with right now.
And speaking on Hawes, Sal, continuing on with him, the snap count from Sunday, he outsnaps both Kincaid and Knox. It does look like the role continues to expand for a player that has become a bit of a favorite, almost a cult following, so to say, for the rookie tight end.
Yeah, I agree. I think people just love his demeanor. They love what he brings to the table as far as toughness and the ability to block, and we've seen that. And then all of a sudden he throws in a game, it seems like it's a pretty big catch. Even last game, he only caught one ball, but it was, you know, I don't know, 20-something yards downfield. He's on the sidelines, making a nice play there. You know, he's a good athlete. And I think, too, learning his personality. If you guys have heard him talk, you've heard him with, you know, other, mm-hmm. you know, being at One Bills Live and different places like that. He's got this really great personality, and I think he kind of draws people to him. So, yeah, I think all of that is baked into that. And I was listening a few weeks ago to your show here, and somebody called up, and they're like, oh, he should take over Dalton Kincaid. When's that going to happen? And you guys, I think, rightfully said, well, I think more that it would be maybe Dawson Knox more than Dalton Kincaid. But, look, I'm here to tell you, why do you have to even do that? Like, the Bills have what they want right now. They have three tight ends who have these different roles, who have different skill sets. It's exactly what they want. Just because Jackson Hawes is doing a good job doesn't mean he has to take over the job of somebody you have to get rid of. They have a good situation. Now, that being said, of course, you look at Dawson Knox's contract for next year, and those are things you visit down the road. It doesn't have to be right now, and it doesn't have to be at the end of the year where you have to make that decision. You could do other things. I think the Bills would love to have this going forward, love to have these three tight ends. You don't have to have someone just completely replace someone else because he's doing a good job. Maybe part of the reason he's doing a good job is he's in a perfect role because of the room he's in.
Right, and all of a sudden, you know, it's a good problem to have. And to be fair, Sal, I mean, they're cooking with gas with this three tight end system that they're using. I mean, James Cook is top five in rushing. He's second only to Jonathan Taylor. Right, there's no real reason to change it, and especially you don't want to throw Hawes into a situation he's maybe not ready for. The catch week one is great, but he does almost drop it. I mean, they are still bringing him along in the role that they have with him. Sal, though, speaking of decisions to be made, I don't want to forget about this. In terms of the guys on IR that were eligible to come back. The team has not made any decisions on those players, and that, of course, does include Max Harrison, Tyler Bass, and Tylan Grable.
Yes. I mean, I guess we could say they have made a decision. They're not coming back this week, right? I mean, that's the decision. So, yeah, I mean, they know. They have a plan for these guys, and they'll see where it goes. But none of them had their practice windows opened yesterday. So, in case people are unaware how it works, because these players were placed on injured reserve, have served their four games on injured reserve, that's the minimum amount, now they are eligible to start practicing again and even playing in games. So the Bills could put them on the practice field at any point, but once they practice, the clock starts ticking, and the Bills would have 21 days to put them on the active roster, that person, and make a corresponding roster move. So if you don't put them on the practice field, you don't have to do that. And right now, it's just keep doing what you're doing, rehabbing. And there's a couple different things at play here, right, which is the health of the player, obviously, first and foremost, but also the roster decisions that are looming. And, you know, once you decide to put them on the practice field, roster decisions are going to come a lot quicker for the Bills. And you never hope that injuries are a factor in making those roster decisions with other people. They could. But right now, I think, you know, the Bills can keep these guys doing what they're doing, rehabbing the way they are, and then we'll see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Westher Hotline. Bills Patriots for Sunday Night Football. Sal, one of the big concerns, not concerns or big concerns, one of the things that you start hearing about early on in the season with James Cook being second in the league in rushing and really becoming a dominant force here, there has not been a lot of usage for Ty Johnson or, in particular, Ray Davis so far. And I do remember I did see Joe...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase.
And we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Brady speak a little bit on that matter. Do they want to try to implicate a little bit more balance into their backfield to give Cook a little bit of rest every now and then?
Your guess is as good as mine, Derek. It's a great question because we're all kind of wondering and watching this play out. But at the same time, I don't think there's any rush to take James Cook off the field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's playing so well. And I think that's part of it, which is James is just so dynamic and so good right now that the Bills love having him on the field. I think, you know, in a full picture type of deal here, you're thinking about it, which is, man, how much do you really want to put on him? You know, you don't want to keep the wear and tear. You want to keep the wear and tear off. But he has this running style where he doesn't usually, knock on wood, take these big shots. He takes care of his body. And so far, so good. And I think there is a role for Ray Davis and especially Ty Johnson and on third down that we are going to see. To me, it feels like it's almost like game planning, where maybe there's a game where it's like, okay, this is going to be the game where we're using Ty Johnson out of the backfield. That was Detroit last year. Remember that game, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Detroit last year. I remember going into that game, and I said, well, I'm probably on the air with you guys, hey, the linebackers for the Lions aren't great at covering. This could be a game where tight ends or running backs could factor. Well, sure enough, when the Bills just attacked them with Ty Johnson out of the backfield, you might get a game like that. And then you start to say, okay, there it is. In the meantime, it's a good question. I don't think it's anything Ty Johnson or Ray Davis are doing wrong. I just think the Bills right now are riding James Cook.
And, you know, Sal, it's really fun to kind of look at this, again, just through the first month. So it's not indicative of what the season will be. But the big player that many Bills fans and us included were looking to for James Cook's contract was Kyren Williams. And the big discrepancy between those two is that Williams kind of never left the field for the Rams. Fast forward to the start of this year, and I know Joe brought this up this morning, That actually has been true. They're having full drives where Blake Corum is the main running back. Kyron Williams on the bench. And then you go to the Bills, who it seemed to be their whole thing was they got all their running backs involved through the first month. Sure, they're still involved, but James Cook is getting the bell cow kind of carries at running back. And it's led to, you know, the top rushing offense in the league through week one, or through the first month, excuse me. And then he's second in the league in rushing, like I mentioned, only behind Jonathan Taylor, who's, you know, well established as one of the best backs in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't know the stats on Kyron Williams. You bring up a good point. Like, that's interesting to note, right? Which is, they get paid, I mean, I guess right around the same amount of money total, right? And same contract. Don't have it in front of me. And, yeah, a lot of conversation of Kyron Williams and all the things he did. And, well, James Cook, he doesn't play third downs. Well, he's playing more in third down. He's playing more percentage. It is funny how both teams have kind of morphed. But, again, as the season goes on, I'm sure they'll be different for the Rams too, right? I mean, it might be different for the Bills, might be different for the Rams. It's a game-to-game situation. We'll see what the we'll see what Kyron Williams is tonight. And, yeah, give Blake Corum a lot of credit. I'm sure that's part of that is Blake Corum is playing well when he's on the field. So, you know, I mean, a team's job is to do what's best for the team to win. That's the team's job. It doesn't matter how much guys are getting paid. Yeah, you want your superstars, your best players, high-paid players to, you know, be your best players, I think, in a perfect world. But the team's job is to play who's playing, and it's just the same conversation with Josh Allen. And play, I'm sorry, to do what's best for the team to win. It's the same conversation with Josh Allen. Oh, my God, he's not throwing for 300 yards. They're not pushing the ball downfield. And his answer is, we're scoring 31 points a game and winning. Like, isn't that the goal, right? That's the job.
Right, absolutely. Sal, just a few more minutes here, and with practice starting in just a little over 10 minutes, what's the schedule for today and then the rest of the week with Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, 11:30. Shortly from now, the Bills will be on the practice field. We'll get another look. We'll see today. We don't hear from Sean McDermott pre-practice on Thursday, so it's honestly just going to be an observance of who's going to be practicing today. Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Jackson Hawes now, obviously, Dorian Williams, Spencer Brown. So we'll take a look at that. People can follow me on social at Sal Sports on X, and we'll have an update on that. And then tomorrow will be the wrap-up to the week. As they normally do, we will have Sean McDermott on the air tomorrow, probably, just for everybody kind of wondering right now, about a little after 11 o'clock again tomorrow, I'm guessing, Sean McDermott. That's not in stone, so it could be earlier. We'll get an injury update and game designations. And then, yeah, Sunday Night Football, Patriots in town. And it's the Sunday night, it's the rivalry series game with
White
the jerseys.
Game, yeah.
You guys saw the pictures and video with the helmets on yesterday, right? They were wearing at practice. Right, they're wearing them now to get used to them. And this is the last time the Patriots will ever visit the stadium, of course, unless they play in the playoffs, which they did a few years ago in the perfect game. And this is the team I saw first ever here. My first game ever inside this stadium was 1987, Patriots at Bills, a strike-shortened season. It was late November. Bills had to win the last two games. They shaved off a game of the year because of the strike. So there were only 15 games. Bills had to win the last two games to make the playoffs. And they lost that game 13-7 to the New England Patriots. But that is the first game I ever went to with Patriots Bills.
There you go. All right, Sal, we'll let you get ready for practice, and we'll talk again soon, man. Thank you.
You got it, guys.
That was Sal Thanks, Camacho Sal. There on the Western Hotline. And as you heard, you can follow along with everything from practice, Sal's socials at Sal Sports. Do want to mention this because I did bring up a Blake Corum and Kyron Williams. It's not as aggressive as maybe you'd think, where all of a sudden it's a 50-50 split. But looking back at last year, Kyron Williams' snap count was at 87% in 2024. Through four games, it's at 74%. Still a good chunk, but for Corum, he's now going up, again, just through the first four games, from 11% in 24 to 25% in 25. Still, though, hasn't technically started any of the games, which is unsurprising. For the Bills, though, I'm with Sal. Like, I've been very... I'm okay with it. I'm cool with leaning on your best players. I think it's somewhat of a ridiculous statement to not lean on your best guys. Like, the quarterback is the biggest difference.
Right.
Do I want him throwing the ball 40 times a game? No. But in the fourth quarter, if we need to make a play, yeah, I'm cool going to him.
And the Bills have shown that. They absolutely are getting to. Now, we'll get to him if we need him. And then a couple times over the last couple of weeks, they've needed him. And he's made plays and helped put things away.
But for the Bills' running game, I'm almost less excited. I hate saying this because I like Ray Davis, the guy. I even like the player. But Sal brings up Detroit. And Ty Johnson last year had a number of games where you're like, oh, okay, he's awesome. You can't let him go. He's their third down back. He's the best, quote-unquote, third down back in the league, if you ask Josh Allen. I'm almost more excited to see him get going, because you even look in the preseason, Derek. I mean, it's the preseason, so it doesn't mean a ton. Ty Johnson was more impressive than Ray Davis.
He looked fresh.
He looked fresh. He looked good. He looked like the guy that, yeah, he's the backup, and that maybe wasn't even necessarily true. But I am curious to see how the Bills get that going. If they really do want to balance the scales a little bit with the run game, or if they're like, hey, it's working. And as Sal pointed out, you know, James Cook is very, very good, and he's very shifty. He doesn't take these monster hits where you're just sitting there going, all right, take him out for a minute here.
Shelton Bulldog did a really good segment about this on Monday of like how Ray Davis last year would be in games consistently, and it's not about like, oh, it's blowouts, hand it to the rookie running back. It was there'd be drives where they had Ray Davis in the game. And that is clearly not happening so far. His numbers are definitely, I think, part of that equation. I do think that his struggles are leading a little bit to he's getting a little bit less attention and a little less carries. I do want to not necessarily dispute Sal on that, but I do look at it and go, could that also be why? And it has to also do with the dominance of James Cook. It probably is a two-factor thing. So, obviously, Ray Davis would probably say the same thing. Like, I'm frustrated because I'm not doing well or something like that. If he's asked that sort of question. Mm-hmm. I am curious to see if they're able to get things going again, and if so, when. But right now, it's James Cook's backfield, and
it would feel kind of ridiculous to change it up.
And both Ty Johnson and Ray Davis have to deal with that at the unfortunate level right now.
Yeah, Cook's playing at a level where I think right now, in terms of odds, Cook is top five in offensive player of the year odds. And that would make sense. It's not a quarterback award. Typically, it goes to the receivers, running backs, or what have you. He's been great.
And
he's
ready?
Scoring in every game.
Ready? I've got bad news for anyone that wants a second MVP for Josh Allen.
It would be if James Cook is all of a sudden offensive player of the year or all-pro running back.
If James Cook finishes top three in rushing, you're probably not getting Josh Allen another MVP.
I'm
because
more
it's
than
the
okay
same
with that.
Argument as last year with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry.
Right, and I am more than okay with that. He got his one. He got his. Now it's time for the team
I'm
awards.
Just saying don't get short-term memory.
Right.
Or convenient short-term memory loss willingly about this. Do not become Ravens fans and forget about the arguments of last year.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking nerve levels for the Patriots this weekend. We'll get some of your tweets and your calls after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.